Let's get to our guest. Omar Slim is with us. He is Senior Portfolio Manager of Asia Fixed Income at Pinebridge Investments. He's on the line from Singapore. Thanks for being with us, Omar. We're focused on the Fed minutes, trying to read the tea leaves, so to speak. A couple of things we learned. I mean, obviously, rate hikes are going to continue. We know there's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to get inflation under control. And then a slower pace at some point would be required. That seems logical. Now we seem to be getting the sense of some anxiety building among a few members about the risk of over-tightening. Is that really significant in your view?
Well, I think the Fed minutes didn't bring anything particularly new, to be honest. As you said, they said that they can potentially start to reduce the size of the hikes, which is quite logical. And there is some concerns in terms of over-tightening. So there was something for everyone, really. I think what's happening is that the so-called Fed pivot is more of a market narrative as opposed to a Fed narrative, in the sense that the market is thinking that the inflation expectations have started to respond to tighter financial conditions and inflation has been dented and will continue to go down. And as such, there are some tail risks of inflation being completely out of control that have dissipated. And that's why we saw a positive market reaction in the past few weeks. So I think what's happening with the Fed is that they're keeping all options open, but the market narrative has changed a bit.
Omar, when we look at what the bond market is showing us about these growing recession risks, it gets to that point about whether or not we kind of almost need a recession to rein in inflation. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, I think having a soft landing is possible, but I think it's very, very, very difficult to achieve. So I would say it's possible, but not very probable. I think what the base case scenario for us would be a slowdown, without getting into semantics, whether it's a recession or a technical recession and so on. But we think there will be a slowdown and a recession or a recession-like environment, which will likely be rather shallow. And yes, it does take that kind of environment to slow down the inflation that we're getting. Having said that, we are starting to see certain drivers of inflation that are slowing down, particularly when it comes to the housing market. So I think the trajectory of inflation is now on a much healthier path than where we were 6 months ago, when the Fed and pretty much all of the central banks globally were way, way behind the curve.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the commodities, to your point about inflation coming off its peak, I don't know that we are at the point to be able to say, yes, we've hit peak inflation, but commodities are lower, particularly crude oil. In about 30 seconds, Omar, give me your sense of how long we talk about monetary policy operating with a lag. What is that lag in your view?
Well, it depends which central bank we're talking about. I think with the Fed, it's probably arguable that they were probably two quarters behind the curve. And I think by year end, we're going to be in a much better shape in terms of firmly denting the inflationary trajectory. Mm-hmm. I think Europe is a different story, particularly given that there is a chance of an energy crisis there. And the drivers of inflation in Europe are different from what we see in the US.
Does that kind of mood continue, given all the uncertainties and the fact that you've got some of these restrictions in terms of the COVID restrictions at the same levels they were at the height of the pandemic?
Yeah, I think when it comes to China, the long and short of it is that it's difficult to see any positive catalysts. And the situation is rather concerning on a number of fronts. I think, for instance, the China property crisis that we're seeing is potentially starting to metastasize into something a bit more significant, at least in terms of some pockets of the financial system. And what we have been seeing consistently is that the China policy response has been underwhelming for the past few quarters. And I think in a nutshell, what needs to happen is that the China policy response needs to be more robust. And particularly when it comes to China property market, there needs to be more support measures. And because they have been saying that they will be supporting the market for a while, the market is no longer giving the policymaker the benefit of the doubt. So any kind of incremental policy support that we've been seeing, including the PBOC cut, is being met rather skeptically. And so I think there needs to be more by the Chinese policymakers to turn this around.
Yeah, even before that cut in the one-year MLF, we had data over the weekend showing shockingly weak aggregate financing data, about half of what economists were expecting. We know that there is rampant liquidity in the system. We were talking to one of our market reporters yesterday about this time on the show about the probability that that China is really in a liquidity trap right now. And if there is a remedy, it hasn't been discussed, but maybe the PBOC uses the playbook of the Fed, the BOJ, the ECB, and you start putting weak assets on your balance sheet. Would that be a solution to the problem?
Well, there's two things to say here. One is the financial and transmission mechanism in China is quite different from what you see in some of the other developed markets, meaning that it tends to the cheap credit and the easy credit tends to flow largely into some of the larger institutions, particularly if they're related to the sovereign. And what needs to happen now is that the liquidity needs to permeate some of the smaller companies, and particularly some of the segments in the China property, in the China property market. The other thing is that I think you were saying in your reporting that there's a few banks that are starting to downgrade the Chinese growth. It has been pretty clear since the second quarter that the Chinese growth projections are too ambitious. We think that there will be a substantial slowdown this year. So our base case is around 2-3% full year GDP growth. Because of a number of things, including the COVID zero, but also the increasing concerns about the China property crisis, again, starting to have an impact that is much broader in terms of the economy.
Omar, what's your outlook, though, for ASEAN? And if we do start to see a peak in U.S. inflation, what kind of boost that gives to Southeast Asia bonds?
I think for Southeast Asia broadly, and particularly in terms of currencies, it is rather constructive that the market is starting to think that the main policy hikes from the major central banks, specifically the Fed, have already been priced in. So we're seeing some recovery in terms of some of the Asian currencies, and I think that will continue. The other thing is that we are seeing a reopening accelerating in Southeast Asia, particularly, for instance, in Thailand, which is starting to see the benefits of the border reopening with a massive increase in terms of tourism. So I think broadly, in terms of Southeast Asia, particularly when it comes to currencies, we're turning more constructive.
All right, Omar, great to have you with us. Omar Slim, a senior portfolio manager of Asia Fixed Income at Pinebridge Investments, joining us from Singapore.